A song, What a Day, is moving in my mind and heart. My sister, 87-year-old Betty Whittle in Arkansas, is probably in the last days of her life right now. And she has a son-in-law that is in the last days of his life. And then another son-in-law that's about to have a heart, a pacemaker put in his heart. Betty says, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. She's scared of dying. And I keep saying, what a day it's going to be. May it be today. I hope she doesn't meet me there, you know. But anyway, what a day that will be. Until then, we get to know God and fellowship with him. Oh, that old shoulder doesn't work. Let's go the other way. We're talking about prayer today. The Jewish culture, they use prayer shawls. God in the Old Testament said, add tassels to your clothing. And the tassels are designed to remind you of the law, that you would obey the law. And so as they began to do that, the religious leaders went further and they developed a prayer shawl. They became very elaborate, very colored. And then they used them to remember the 613 rabbinical laws that were added to the Ten Commandments. Every twist of the cord, different color. Every knot, every portion of this reminded them of the laws of God and how they were supposed to live. And of course, it became a very prideful thing for the Pharisees. And then Jesus talked about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple praying one day. And he talked about what it was like for them and the way. And the Pharisee prayed his normal way. God, I'm great. Thank you. Now just keep me from being like these other guys. I'm not like that. You know, I do all the things you require. I even tithe on my mint and spices every week. And I fast 2 times a week. I'm really good, God, and I thank you for that. The old publican standing over on another part of the temple just beat his breast and looked at the ground and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he could say. That's all he could do. And so when Jesus began to talk about prayer, he was trying to help them understand that the way they prayed from the past is not the way you pray now with a personal relationship with the Father and the Son. That's the reality of the world that we live in. The prayer, when he said, go to a private room, the private room was when they closed the shawl down over them and they could pray to God by themselves. And it represented the way that they were to do. Jesus had a whole different way of dealing with things. And he was trying to help them understand what was required, what was needed as they would pray. So he said in the 15th chapter of John, verse 7 and 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit, and you proved to be my disciples. Now, as you look at the disciples' cross that's on the screen, you remember that at the center of the cross is Christ. He has to be the center of our life as disciples. He told us that. He has to be the center. If you go down, you realize the Word, the Bible, is important to our relationship with God. That's how we know God. That's how we learn about God. That's how we can understand God. When you look at the upper part of the cross, is prayer. And so our relationship with God the Father is centered in Christ, and we invest in prayer and study of the Word to know Him and to understand Him. So as we deepen our relationship, as we follow Him, as we obey Him, our time will be invested in prayer. This is not now I'll lay me down to sleep or our simple little prayers that we pray when we eat. This is a true conversation with God, a true discussion with God. It's invested in time. I've learned people, the way you know people is you spend time with them. The way you're going to know Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit is you spend time with them. Let's do that now. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would give us a clear understanding of you, that we would understand you in the depths of our souls, that as we come together We can worship and adore you, and we can hear from you what you desire of our lives, and you can hear from you what you want from our church today. Speak to us, for your children listen. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, we are to deepen our relationship with God. That's been one of the problems in many years now, is that there are people that pray the prayer, they're saved, they're baptized, they come sit on a pew, and that's as far as they go. It's more like a book club that we attend every week rather than developing a stronger relationship. I can go to so many things. When I learn new people in churches, the relationship we develop. When I learn the leaders, I've always tried to invest with the deacons in a relationship. I learned that if I was going to know Jean, I had to know, spend time with her. And it just grew over the 2 years that we dated, and I just wanted to be with her all the time. Even though she lived an hour away and I worked and was going to school and pastoring a church, it just didn't work out that we could spend a lot of time together. But I learned the more I knew about her, the more I wanted to know. And the way that I learned that was spending time with us. Now, after we got married, it was a whole new awakening as we learned about each other. More and more spending that time together. Oh, she's a great cook, and I gained 50 pounds the first 6 months that we were married. You know, it was a different side of her after we got married than just going out to a date or sitting in our mother's living room and spending time together. We deepen our relationship as we spend time together. Christ has to be the center of your life. As we review that disciples' cross, we understand that. We are to be the branch. We have to be connected to the vine. The only way we're going to receive nourishment from God, the only way we're going to understand God is through that relationship that we have. Because of that connection that we have, we will be able to produce fruit that the vine keeper will be pleased with. He expects and even demands from us that we produce disciples. We don't just sit. We've got to do things for him. Now, those that produce a little amount of fruit, he said, they're going to be pruned. They're going to be trimmed. He's going to take stuff off of us. He's going to take stuff away from us. He's going to make us more productive because he does that. But those that don't produce any fruit, he said, he's going to cut you off, throw you away, do away with you. And that's what sin does. It separates us from God. Now, you must connect and depend on him if you're going to know him. The disciples of Jesus must also know his words, he said. In fact, Jesus said those that follow him are to continue in, abide, learn, and do his words. What he said is what we need to do. At the heart of Jesus' message of true discipleship is proven not by our profession, but it's proven by our perseverance, our keeping at it, just doing it, just being what God wants us to be. Every day we get up and we do today what he wants. People today say, believe in Jesus. But Jesus makes the important distinction in this passage. Belief that leads to discipleship is not a one-time decision. It's a lifelong devotion, doing every day what he says he wants from us. Like the branch depends on the vine for life, the fruitfulness, the ability to produce fruit, the disciple draws spiritual strength. He draws direction through that relationship, that connection with Jesus, and we're cut off. We can't bear fruit. If we're disconnected, the disciples experience the loss of power and the loss of answered prayer. That's why Jesus met the Father every day. He would get by himself and pray. He would spend time to learn more about the Father. You see, you come before God and you talk to him. That's what's happening in our lives. The next aspect of believing and being a follower of Jesus is to be a true disciple. That means we talk to him. The only way I could know what my boss required of me at work was that I discussed it with him. There were regular meetings. There were times that we had together. When I became the boss, I had staff meetings and the people could weigh in. We would have brainstorming sessions. We would decide what we were going to do, and then we would do it together. When we go to God, we find out what God wants us to do. We're connected in producing fruit, learning His words, teachings, desiring to talk to Jesus, desiring to listen to Him. It's through this connection of hearing Jesus and learning from Jesus that we're given the privilege to talk to Jesus and ask Him with assurance that He's going to give us what we ask for. That's the whole purpose of what Jesus is saying. As disciples, we grow deeper in our relationship with Christ by letting His Word dwell in us richly, feeding us, shaping our thoughts, shaping our prayers, shaping our actions. That's so important for us to understand what prayer means to us as a follower of Jesus. Now, the foundation of faithful prayer is abiding, staying with Him. If you remain in me, Jesus said. Prayer is rooted in the relationship, not in a ritual. We've got to be with Him. We've got to know Him. We've got to understand Him. It's not the prayer shawl hung over our heads, closed up, where we're alone. No, it's when we're talking to Him in that relationship. Remain, abide, dwell, stay connected like the branch that is expected to produce clusters of delicious grapes and sweet to the taste and juicy. It's only going to be productive by remaining connected to the vine. The follower of Christ must abide, live in Jesus. By remaining connected, the disciple will have the opportunity and the privilege of prayer. True prayer flows from going in a fellowship with Christ, being that ongoing relationship. You remember what Jesus said in John 15, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch abides to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Abiding keeps us in a spiritually alive and fruitful. We keeps us spiritually alive and fruitful. The branch cut from the vine is not going to bear fruit. In that agrarian society, the people understood the reference. The branch not connected to the vine is not going to gain nourishment that it requires to produce the fruit. Prayer without abiding is powerless. Abiding produces faith. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask what you want and it will be done. As my disciples, if you remain in me, I live in you, you will have fellowship with me. Then you will know my words. You will know the truth. Through fellowship, you will understand me. You will know me, my heart, my desire, my will, my purpose. I will be through this knowledge and understanding that we talk openly and honestly because of our relationship. Because of your knowledge of me, you can ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Abiding means surrender. It begins with surrender. Abiding, living with, produces knowledge, understanding. You do not live with someone without coming to know them. The believer cannot abide and still live by themselves. Abiding produces trust. Abiding produces willingness to give Christ complete control. The disciple of Jesus cannot declare Jesus is my co-pilot. He must be the complete control of our lives. He has to be the Lord of our lives. Remember, we stated Jesus called to discipleship. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's through our daily communion and prayer that our dependence on Him is deepened. We grow stronger in our relationship. We abide daily, continuously, and not just visit Him when we feel like praying and we need help. Now, the focus of faithful prayer, the word in you, and my words remain in you, if you remain in me and my words, the Bible is the foundation of a faith-filled prayer. That's where it has to start. The more that Scripture shapes our hearts and our minds, the more our prayers are going to align with what God's will and purpose for our lives are. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of Christ. The more time we spend with Christ in His study of His Word, the better we're going to know Him and understand His purpose for us, and we can trust Him more. We will learn to communicate with Him, listen to His guidance, finding directions for the day. You see, Scripture cleanses and refines our desires. That's why we're important that we talk with Him as we pray. When the Word lives in us, we begin to desire what God wants. Our lives are going to reflect God's desire and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Temptation of sin will not have control over us. We will desire to do what God plans for us to do. The Word transforms our selfish requests to Spirit-led petitions, prayer requests. We're given the Holy Spirit, and when we confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, He not only is able to mark us as His fruit and show us as belonging to Him, but if we yield to His leadership and power, He's going to produce fruit through us. When we yield to Him, He expresses His fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our daily lives. So it's important that Scripture cleanses and refines our desires. In our discussion of this week's chapter this morning, I told about a time when it was so bad at where I worked that I wanted out. And I began to seek somewhere else to work. And I began to have interviews with other organizations to be a part of them. And God just said, no, that's not what I want. And the more I prayed, the more I understood I hadn't seen what God wanted to do yet. And so I kept praying, and I kept trying to be faithful, and I kept working. And it wasn't long 9/11 happened. And it wasn't long before Katrina happened. And those events exploded the organization that I was with. And it did so many different things. But it was through that cleansing prayer of me saying, God, I want out. And Him saying, no, that's not what I'm doing. You got to be patient. I was able to refine. And yes, soon those aspects of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control began to settle into my life. They didn't always show like they should have shown, but there were numbers of times when I could trust God no matter the environment that I was in and the disaster that was going on. To pray in faith, pray the Word. Pray the Bible is what He's saying. We are to use God's promises as the basis of our prayers. When we know what God has said and what He has promised, we can only depend on Him and His promises. You see, I knew that even though I was broken in a hospital bed in great pain, that God was at work. And when I prayed, God, show the fruit of the Spirit through me in this hospital, it changed my attitude. My family said your attitude needed changing with the way you were responding with the pain and all that was going on. You see, you begin to pray the Word and it happens. You remember Abraham received a promise from God, you're going to have a boy. And that boy is going to produce so many people you can't count them. It's going to produce so much you can't understand. It's going to be greater than the sand on the beach or the stars in the skies. 25 years later, he was still waiting. But God brought him. God gave him. And the very things God promised happened. Our world still thinks we are believers today in Christ because of what went on there. The promise and the faith in God fueled Abraham's prayer life on and on and on over 25 years. The Bible gives language and authority to our faith-filled petitions, you know. When I see where God did it in Peter's life, when I see when he did it in Paul's life, when I see him when he did it in James's life, in John's life, I can trust him to do it in my life too. I can know the Bible can be trusted. We don't have to worry about the old English, thee and thou. We can use the new things that God speaks in our minds and hearts even today from the scriptures that we read. We can shake our fist in heaven and curse God and demand actions or debate with him, and it's not going to give you anything. But if we will pray, Lord, I know what you have said, and I trust you to fulfill your word. I wait in faith. Show me how to live and serve you today as I expect your blessings in my life. And he will answer the prayer. If you trust him, faithful prayer releases God's power. Ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My children learned things that I wanted and what I expected. And when they asked me for those things, oh, it was good. Now, Becky, our middle child, learned somehow or another, as the administrator that she is. She learned and told her older sisters one day when they wanted to do something, and I said no. She said to them, if you beg him, he'll give in. She learned me. Think about that. If you ask, if you know God and you ask, you're going to get it. Now, prayer is not a blank check for selfish desires. It's a promise tied to the condition of abiding and aligning with Christ. And when we're his disciples, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Do what he says. Our hearts are in tune with Christ. Our prayers are going to be powerful and effective because they express his will. Do you have people that you want to pray for you? There was a time in my life that if I could get word to Mary Pickett, she was one of my Sunday school teachers when I was a child. She was a member of the church when I pastored my home church, Adams Run. And if I knew I could get Perry to pray for me, it'd make all the difference in the world. I knew she would talk to God and God would hear and answer her prayer. If you are the kind of person that is abiding in Christ and you're praying, God's going to release his power. You see, prayer aligns our will to God's will. It just doesn't give him our want list. It makes us understand what he wants. Some teach because because you are God's child, and he's promised to give you your heart's desire, then you can demand God give you whatever you want. That's not true. That's false. Jesus said so right here. God would not do good if he responded to the way we prayed because, like children, we often want things that's going to hurt us. We often want things that are not good for us. And we have to say no to our children when that happens. You know, you just don't give a kid a chainsaw to play with. There's things you don't do. That's the same way with God. He's not going to do those things that we want that is going to cause harm or hurt us or inflict injury on his kingdom. He only gives us the things that will aid us in demonstrating his glory to a lost and dying world. When we are in harmony with Christ, abiding in him, our prayers reflect Christ's heart. They are prayers that Jesus would pray. When we know God and his purpose for our lives, we will learn how we are to pray. Jesus prayed, Father, if you're willing to take this cup away, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was right at the foot of Calvary, right at the foot of the cross. He was about to be sacrificed, and every sin that ever has been committed or will be committed in this world was placed on him to go to the cross. You see, there was more to it than the physical agony of the cross. It was the sin of all mankind. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. That's how we have to pray. God, how do you want to use me? God, what do you want to do through me? God, how can I do what you want me to do today? Faith-filled prayer expects God to move. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're not going to serve God unless you have faith. You're not going to serve God unless you obey. You're not going to serve God unless you're willing to stay connected to Christ. If God's going to accept and fulfill your prayer request, you must demonstrate faith in God, that He will move and you can join Him. He's going to move through you. Nick Ripken, I was reminded this week of Nick Ripken's story about Dmitri in his book, The Insanity of God. This was a guy in Russia that God saved, and he began to study the Bible. Before long, he showed the difference, and the people in the community began to come. It wasn't long before Dmitri had started a church. And that church became a powerful instrument in their community. And of course, the Russian communists could not agree to that. And so they began to abuse him. Finally, they arrested him and threw him in prison. And they tortured him and they abused him in all kinds of ways. And to get at him to denounce his faith in God, they even began to attack his wife and children and family. He began to abuse them. 17 years he spent in one of the most notorious prisons in Russia. He was abused, he was mocked, he was cursed by every one of the prisoners as well as the guard. But every morning he would stand up when he got up in his cell. He would raise his hands to heaven. Try to picture this hand up higher. Raise his hand to heaven, and he would sing what was his heart song. It was a song that talked about God and His love and Jesus. I read the translation of it. It's too long, but he would sing it every morning. And all the other 1,500 prisoners in that just rejected it all along. And they kept on and on and on and on. All kind of horrible things. And it just wouldn't give in. And finally, the guards had enough, and they took him out one morning to the firing squad place. And they started him out of the cell, and as they walked through the corridors of the prison to get to where the firing squad place was, all 1,500 prisoners stood, lifted their hands to heaven, and sang Dmitri's heart song. And it scared the guards to death. They said, we can't do this. And in just a couple of days, they released him. They let him go, got him out of the prison because he was having such an influence on the prison. Every morning, before 1,500 prisoners and however many guards were in that prison, he stood and he prayed the heart song to the Heavenly Father, praising Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And his prayers were answered. He was released. He went home, and before long, that church was up and going again. The interesting thing is, just a few years later, Dmitri's son was the chaplain in that prison. The influence of that daily prayer time to God through his heart song. You see, God answers prayers His way and in His time. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait. Abraham, Noah, Job, the disciples. Think of prayer as tuning a guitar. Our hearts must be tuned to God's will. And every string is aligned with His word. The music of the prayer is beautiful and effective. Pray with expectancy. God delights to answer the prayers that honor Him. Remember that prayer is not to bend God to your will, but to align ours to His. We must trust God, trust that every answer, yes, no, or wait, is going to be an act of divine love. You see, fellowship and faithful prayer go together. The goal of prayer is to deepen our intimacy with Christ, to talk to Jesus, get to know Him more, make Him Lord and controller of our life. The goal of prayer is not to get answers, but get to know God and get to know Jesus. Prayer strengthens our obedience and our fellowship too. Let prayer draw you into that deeper love, that deeper trust, that deeper obedience to Christ. The more we talk with Jesus, the more we walk with Jesus, the more we're going to get our answers to our prayers. The more we're going to bring glory to Him. And prayer transforms disciples. Growth in prayer is a growth in a relationship. The more you know Jesus, the more naturally you're going to trust Him and obey Him. Faithful prayer doesn't change circumstances, it changes us. In prayer, our hearts are molded and reflected Christ's character. That's why we pray. Prayer is faith flowing from the heart that is close to Jesus. Faith-filled prayer flows from abiding hearts and word-filled minds. When we remain in Christ and His words remain in us, our prayers become the instruments of God's purpose and God's power. So our challenge today is to abide in Jesus. Stay connected daily. Invest time with Him every day. I reminded our study this morning, Henry Blackaby, the Experiencing God author, met with high-powered CEOs every week in Atlanta. And when he would meet with them, he would talk about their relationship with God. And he kept pushing for a dedicated time of devotion, of prayer, and reading God's Word, fellowshipping with God every morning. And one CEO came to him and said, "Henry, you just don't know how busy I am. You don't understand what's going on." And Henry looked back at him and said, "But you don't understand who God is." You see, when you know who God is, you want to spend time with God. He's not just an insurance policy against hell. He is a relationship to give us strength and obedience every day. We absorb the Word. Scripture-shaped prayers, when we study the Bible, we apply His teachings, prayers will flow from us, and we will walk in an everyday life that pleases to Him. We ask in faith, trust His will and power. Trust God to do what He says He will do. Do not grow impatient with God. Abraham waited 25 years. It took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. The Holy Spirit works for God and works in God's pace, not in my pace, not how I want it. It's going to be with God. We need to adore His presence, that deep, abiding relationship. Enjoy spending time with Him, with Jesus. Let your love grow deeper with God. Faith-filled prayer is not about getting what we want from God, but becoming what God wants us to be. Worship is such a wonderful thing. There have been so many times in my life when I've been able to worship God, and in the middle of devastation, I've been able to talk to God through studying the Bible early in the morning before I began my day in prayer, and I would be confronted with such terrible things. And yet God would show up in the middle of all that. And it was like He tapped me on the shoulder. "Mickey, I'm here. I know what's going on. Trust me. Trust me." And every time I trusted Him, He proved to be faithful. He did what He wanted to do, how He wanted to do it, when He wanted to do it, and through whom He wanted to do it, in spite of me demanding of Him. So here we are. We make those decisions. Are we going to abide with Christ? Are we going to absorb his word? Are we going to ask in faith? Are we going to adore his presence? You have to start off by admitting you need God. Just like Isaiah did. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Be merciful. Then we believe that Jesus died on the cross, and he offers us eternal life, salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. If we believe that and are willing to confess him, admit that he can be Lord of our lives, the boss, the controller, not just the Savior of our life, then he says we can be saved. We will be saved. Then if we're saved, then we need to do exactly what Master Life is teaching us. Dedicate ourselves to discipleship. Do what he's asked us to do. Be who he's asked us to be. Serve where he wants us to serve. We need that today. Folks, if we're going to change this community, it's going to be because we do those things every day. We abide, we study, and we talk to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us understand what we need to be about here today as believers. How we need to respond to the challenge to pray, to abide, to know, to talk to you. And Father, like so many have said, I don't just do it early in the morning. I do it throughout the day. When he gives me a word, when I see something, when I experience something. Oh, Father, I thank you that you give us times that we can pull off the side of the room. In the middle of our tears, be able to talk to you about what's breaking our heart, of what's given us great joy and thanksgiving and praise. Ask you now, Father, to move in our midst. Call from us a commitment today that we will spend time talking to you every day, multiple times of the day, and we'll trust your word because we are abiding in Christ. Move now, for we need to respond. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.